welcome. This is Michael Cherry, the Executive Director of the Spirit Mountain Community Fund. We are here today with our guest, Elaine Phillippe. She is with InForAll, formerly known as BEC. And I believe BEC was Business Education Compact?
Perfect.
Awesome. And she is visiting with us to talk about her work with InForAll. They have had a name change, so we want to be able to give you the spotlight and be able to talk about your work and talk about your name change and help you get that message out. Thank you for being with us. And I also have the pleasure of introducing Angie Sears. She's our program coordinator with the Spirit Mountain Community Fund. We've both been on board there for a couple of years now, and we're honored to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with both of you.
Awesome. In thinking about how we can deepen our relationships with our partners, just a little history, these podcasts are just one way that we can do that. We want to give our nonprofit partners like you a platform to showcase not only the good work that you're doing, talk about things that you may have coming up, needs that you have, ways that people can get involved. But we want to engage our listeners so that they can learn more about your organizations.
Elaine, can you talk a little bit about your mission at InForAll and how you came to do the work?
Of course. So our mission is to bring together business and education partners, specifically and strategically at times when students that are historically underserved experience a disconnect from their K-12 experience. So they start to underperform in school or they're not showing up to school. And the idea is that through those business and education partnerships and our programs and activities that students engage in the classroom, that they're able to connect what they're learning in the classroom to real world and bring more relevancy to that curriculum. And the idea is that we're helping them shape a future that they might not otherwise consider as possible.
That can be transformational. So what are a few ways that you're able to do that in the classroom?
Yeah, so our STEM Connect program is where it starts for us. It's our elementary program. And it's a one-to-one or two-to-one business school partnership. What that means is we're pairing a local business partner with a local elementary school, and the expectation is that that is a relationship that will be multi-year. So we go right in with our school and business partners, helping them understand that this isn't just a one-and-done opportunity, but that we expect a year-over-year commitment. That's when you start to see real change. So in the elementary program, our industry volunteers are trained by InForAll staff to implement our curriculum in the classroom. Hands-on activities that are connected to the next generation science standards. The idea there is that it brings relevancy to the teacher in the classroom and also gives the volunteers an opportunity to get like on the floor and hands-on with the students to do things that are fun. That's one example of what that looks like.
I love that a lot too, because a lot of times for kids it comes down to the things that they're exposed to. And if they don't have that and it's not something that's presented to them, it's just something that is just never a part of their story. And so
that's absolutely true. And I think that specifically in communities that are underserved, business and school partnerships are not very common. They're very common in schools of affluence, in communities where you see a lot of parents going into their classrooms of their students. That is a great opportunity for those students, but it just perpetuates those issues of access that the students we serve have.
Have you ever been in the classroom?
Yes.
And witnessed that?
Yeah.
That probably is really exciting to see just the kids and how they react in those moments. Like, do you have anything that really stands out for you?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that really stands out to me is, yes, the impact that it has on students, and we collect pre and post data from our students before and after programming. So we see a shift in student mindset toward math, science, and careers. But I think what is maybe even more impactful for me when I go into the classroom is to see how it shifts the mindset of the volunteers. I think that we all have an idea informed by social constructs of what the communities that are underserved are experiencing and maybe what to expect. But when you see a volunteer engage 30 students in the classroom and it's shifting any bias that they have, they're starting to see really their future workforce. They look at these students and it becomes competitive for them, like whatever industry or career they represent, they're kind of like elbowing their colleagues and like, that student's going to be an engineer. And they're like, no, that student's going to work in HR.
So we love the work that you're doing, and we have actually funded one of your STEM programs in the past. Can you talk a little bit about how that has impacted the communities and the different education levels that you work with?
Yeah, of course. Thank you. So I talked about the work that we're doing in the elementary program. What we've been able to do in the last 2 years and what we used Spirit Mountain Community Funds to support in terms of growth was expansion to a middle school program. The middle school sections of math are where the program takes place. It still happens during the school day. In elementary and middle school, it's important for us to get into the classroom so that we address any access barriers for the students that we serve. But specifically with the middle school program, it kind of upped the ask of our industry partner and our teachers because we developed a design thinking challenge that's implemented by trained industry volunteers in sections of math. And they have to visit the classroom 8 times in order to get through the entire challenge. So it's a real collaboration and partnership between the industry partner and the teacher, because an industry partner cannot get through in a 50-minute section of math what a teacher can. And so there's some work that has to be done between sessions to make sure that the students get to their finished project. And what that is they're working in groups to define a problem in community. And then they're brainstorming, defining their problem, doing empathy interviews with people in community to understand what their peers or other community members define as a problem. And then they're developing solutions. So that has been really impactful, and students are really kind of marveling over this idea that they can use math to solve problems that they identify around houselessness and food insecurity and bullying. So yeah, it's been a really cool growth model for us. It also is the next step in our program engagement model. I mentioned earlier that there are specific times that students are historically underserved, disengaged from the classroom. That first time is third grade, so that's why we do our elementary, fourth, and fifth grade program with STEM Connect. And the second time is eighth grade math, where you see less than half of Oregon students passing the 8th grade math standard, and that's always disproportionately students of color and students experiencing poverty. So this is the first year with that new curriculum that we're actually engaging students in 8th grade that got to experience STEM Connect in the 5th grade.
So speaking of partnerships, the last time we spoke, we were really impressed by the number of partnerships that you have and just those collaborations that you've been making. Can you talk a little bit about the partnerships that you do have with the schools and how might people know about you or get involved and engaged?
Sure. Well, I think that one of the things that is unique to the way that we do our partnerships is that they really are community-based. So we're really looking for that one-to-one experience between business and school. But it was when we made that shift to the kind of the more neighborhood approach that we began to really see the outcomes for our industry partners. We expected to see for them an increase in organizational identity and efficacy for the volunteers. And that became true at about the fourth connection that they have with their school partner with another employee. They begin to have a higher sense of organizational identity, connection to their business. And I think what's unique about the partnerships and why we're so excited about them is that we have this, you know, cadre of 23 industry partners at this point in our evolution of our programs who are giving multiple hours every year on purpose for a purpose in the classroom. Another piece, there are a few of them that have been with us since the beginning. It was since STEM Connect was an idea 6 years ago. Rainier Software and Technology is a huge supporter of InforAll programs, and they're one of the first in the STEM Connect program. IBM is the other, and Daimler Trucks North America is the third partner that kind of helped us dream about what this would look like.
So your organization just went through a name change from Business Education Compact to InforAll. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Lovely new name, right?
I love it.
Thank you. We're very happy about it. We were formed as the Business Education Compact 34 years ago, and I think it made sense for the tech industry partners that were coming together with educators in the way that naming systems happen, right? In education, everything is an acronym, and it kind of the name of what it is describes what it does. But I think that as we've evolved over the last 6 years, specifically because of the work and the student outcomes that we've seen in STEM Connect, the word compact in our name just seemed like it was so limiting when our work is actually so big, right? Mm-hmm. So we talk about the business education compact, and it makes it sound like it's this nice little bundle and it's, you know, can be presented. But the impact this year is statewide, 4,500 students, 400 volunteers will implement programs in the classroom, and that will impact 180 teachers. It just seemed so limiting. We're very happy. The community is receiving the name really well.
Well, congratulations. I like it.
Thank you.
Where can people go? What's your webpage if people wanted to be able to see that? Because it is a, it's in and then it's a, the number four.
That's correct.
And all.
Yes.
And you maybe have a video about that on your webpage that people could go and see that.
We
visual
do.
Version.
We do. The URL is www.n4all.org. And on our homepage, there's a video that was created by our art director. It's called Our Purpose Video. It's a great description of what we believe will happen when our engagement model and programs is fully realized. So we have the elementary connection with students. We hope to connect with them again in middle school. Right now in high school, we do work experiences for students, but we know that that's not enough. And it's kind of an effort to bring business and school to students a little bit too late in their K-12 experience. So we've invited and interviewed and selected students to come on our board of directors. They will be leading a student advisory council specific to our partnership with Beaverton School District and students who feel like they've been pushed out of school. So we're really going to dive very deeply into this conversation of what is student voice and how are students experiencing success in school and how do they define success. I feel like for our youth, and probably all youth, but specifically this group, adults are telling them all the time what success looks like and what they need to do to be able to get to whatever place in life that an adult is telling them to get to. We don't feel like we have enough information. We don't know enough about how they define it and how they want business and school partnerships to help them define that. So that's something that we're going to be looking at in the next year.
Awesome. Good job. So creative. I love that. That's very innovative and just really thinking outside the box that really tells kids how important they are. I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier about that exposure piece and having kids be able to experience that hands-on and not just be told something.
Right.
Awesome.
And I think that, thank you. I think one of the things that we've kind of landed on when people ask me what I do, or often we'll just throw out our title, like, I'm the executive director at InForAll. I've tried to adopt a new way of responding to that, and I will tell folks, I'm changing the narrative of Oregon students. That's a personal connection to my story. I think one of the things that we talked about, Michael, was why do I care about this work? Mm-hmm. And I was that kid. I grew up in Washington State, and I grew up in poverty. My parents did not graduate from high school. And when I was looking at expulsion my senior year, a building administrator said to me, you know what, you're never going to amount to anything. And I made a decision at that time, although I didn't realize I was doing it, to believe him. And that showed up in the way I did life for the next 15 years. And it wasn't until I was a single mom of three kids and a secretary at a high school that I had an opportunity to change my own narrative. And that was through funding in a scholarship from the Ford Family Foundation. And I just experienced firsthand what access and opportunity can do to an individual and then to a family system. And we believe at InForAll, our board of directors, our staff, our volunteers believe that we show up every day for the one student. Do we want to fully realize all of our program and reach our goal of the 30,000 students that we've targeted in the regions that we can cover? Of course. But we always show up for the one student because you never know in any environment, you never know the impact that you'll make, and you have to believe that it's for the one.
What a powerful, beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that.
Do you have any events or things coming up that you would like to share with the listeners?
We have a couple of opportunities to see our middle school groups in action. So Salem-Keizer School District is a pilot site. We're in year two of our pilot for the middle school program. And Howcombe Parish Middle Schools are the schools where we're able to do the 8th grade design thinking challenge this year. The student showcases where they kind of stand and say so in their groups about what the problem that they identified, the mindsets that they use to complete their projects and how they use math and then kind of their solution. They'll present those the week of May 6th, and that will be at location to be determined. I think it will be at each of the middle schools. That's an opportunity if we know ahead of time to be able to invite and then have people attend as guests to see this incredible work and the solutions that students are developing for problems that are in real time in their community. We have our annual event is always in October. That's an opportunity to come and learn more about our work. Tektronix is our host for that in Beaverton. And during the summer, there's a unique opportunity to get involved with our programming if you maybe necessarily aren't a company with a large enough staff to get volunteers into the classroom and do this year-over-year programming that we're talking about. We start a program called Team Builds. And the team builds are going to happen during the summer. They're specific to building the activity kits that we use in the classroom. We're just a small staff of five, and as we've grown and our classroom impact increases, we realize that we need help to process our kits. And so it's a unique opportunity to come, spend a half a day with us, learn about our work, do a team build activity, hear a little bit from me, and then actually build the kits that go into the classroom.
I'm going to go.
Okay.
Fun.
I'll sign you guys up.
And everybody can learn more about this at on your webpage at www.inforall.com.
.org. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can. I'm happy to field questions. I love to talk about our work, so reaching out to me is always an option as well.
And how can people do that?
So via the website, they can find my email there, or my email address is ecphilippi@inforall.org.
I just did it too. That was my fault.
That's great.
Elaine, in closing, is there anything that you want to share about your vision for the future for InForAll, and anything in closing about how people can get involved, perhaps if they wanted to even volunteer?
I have really big dreams for the organization. I've been with them for 7.5 years and in this current role for 2 years. My real dream is that we'll grow this community mobilization effort to be so humongous that we won't need to exist any longer, right? That it'll just happen and communities will have access and it will happen without us and independent of us.
A beautiful dream.
Until then, we need additional business partners who would be willing to sponsor programs and get into the classroom and do our hands-on activities. That's more of a challenge as we get down the I-5 corridor and the communities that we serve in Salem-Keizer. And then when you get into Roseburg and Medford and we're now out in LaGrand and Bend, Lapine, the industry presence becomes a little less. We have dreams about reaching out into East County. But really just if you're listening today and this resonates with you and this work is interesting to you, I think it would be great for you to reach out to us to understand if there's a school in your region that we're trying to impact. That would be the biggest way.
Well, you've certainly painted a very beautiful picture of community, and we're happy to be a part of that. And my hope is that people will get involved through listening to this podcast, through either business, volunteering, whatever that might be, that will help you meet your goals. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.